Got it. Thank you. Brandy Altergott? Yeah, I did not hear Brandy. Jay Brown? I did not hear Jay.
Frank, I think I see him.
Sorry, I did say here. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, Jay Brown is here. Okay. Thank you. Frank Bonomo? I did not hear Frank. John Carlamalia?
Here. I see 17
Thank you,
people
John.
On the team's call total, by the way.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, John.
Bill DeMaio? I did not hear Bill. Jennifer Jenkins?
Here.
Thank you. Lucretia Jones?
Here.
Frank Los Cuadro? Excuse me. Yeah, I did not hear Frank. Phil McGalnick?
Present.
John McNichol? Did not hear John. Anita Mendoza?
Here.
Thank you. Deb Reed?
Here.
Thank you. Beth Reel?
Here.
Thank you. Dennis Reagan? I did not hear Dennis. Nicole Rico Serrano? I did not hear Nicole.
This is Dennis Reagan. I'm here. I was on mute.
Okay. Thank you, Dennis. Kendra Valente?
Good morning, here.
Thank you. Carol Jenkins, I am here. And then we have the three vacant positions.
Yeah, I think we still had a quorum then. So they were down to 15. So we had 8. At least. Is there anyone here from the general public, any guests, any visitors who are on the call so we can put that into the record?
Hi, Jennifer Proto, legislative liaison for ADS is here.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Mary Burgard, program vocational rehabilitation supervisor. That's me.
Hello, Mary.
Hi.
Angelo Vitale, vocational rehab counselor with BSBE.
Thanks for joining us. Thank you.
Honorata Kashmirta, client.
Thank you.
This is Homo Benyaz, is the Edison client.
Thank you for being here. Wonderful.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Anyone else? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to move to the next item of the agenda. I want to thank everyone for their attendance. Public comment, is there any public comment?
Honorata?
Yes, Honorata.
I just wanted to bring to BSBE's attention the fact that the applications for mentoring that were sent out a couple months ago to clients were received by many. I had contact with several people, but the application was sent out in an inaccessible format. It was in fillable, and there was no way to transfer the document into any other form because it was read-only. My technology person had alerted the person who sent it out to that fact, and 2 months later, no one had received updated accessible document or any phone calls to that matter. And as far as I know, people were interested in participating in the mentoring program. And second thing, likewise, everyone is kind of sad that we have lost the IRA in a state, as that was a vital part of people's independent travel. So that's it for the public comment. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's too bad we can't have a policy of no PDF for accessibility reasons.
I think Carol is working on that to make sure that everything is accessible. I think there needs to be some sort of, again, we could read the emails, but not act upon them. And there's got to be a note. You know, I know an accommodation has to be made, but there should be a note on any of the documents or any of the emails going out that require a response or soliciting a response, to just remind people that they can contact person they can call to perhaps do the application over the phone or respond to any other inquiry via telephone at this time. Anyone else from the council have any comments on this? Additional comments? Hearing none, we'll move forward. For full transparency, Honorata and I are, she's my wife. We just got married 2 weeks ago. So just so people
congratulations.
Know, she's not a tag team here. She's there on her own. She wanted to make some comments. So thank you. Okay, we're going to go into old business. Okay, we had the meeting on March 22nd. The typical quarterly meeting. The meeting minutes were sent out. If anyone has any questions on those, otherwise someone can make a motion to accept them as submitted if there are no corrections or comments.
Phil, I know we also had minutes from the May meeting. Do we want to bring them in?
Do it all in one shot. This is,
yeah.
Sure. We sure, for the sense of brevity, you know, we did have the special meeting in May with Carol, and again, those meeting minutes were disseminated. So if someone would like to make a motion to accept both meeting minutes as submitted.
Just a quick comment. This is Kendra Valenti. I had declined. I was not able to attend the May 10th, but it shows I was present, so I just wanted to make that quick correction.
Okay. Keep that in note. Make sure that gets corrected.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Kendra. Okay, if someone would like to make a motion to accept the minutes as corrected. So, for the May meeting.
That's Kendra Valenti. I make the motion to approve both items, both minutes.
Thank you, Kendra. Do you have a second?
Yeah, I'll second it.
John Carnamola, I'll second as amended.
Scott, okay.
You can have it
first.
You can have the next one.
All right, all in favor to accept the minutes as presented and corrected, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposing, say nay. Okay. Any abstentions? Motions for that. Motion minutes have been accepted as corrected. Okay. Work group reports. Membership. Lucretia, anything that you have to add?
Nothing at this time. Nothing has come across my desk. And in hearing Carol's spoken word, nothing across her desk, so it still remains as is.
Okay. No official membership meeting report. However, I do have some information. I did, after jumping through several hoops, I was trying to find out who at the governor's office is our quote-unquote liaison, or who we can contact regarding membership, because we still have the two vacancies, one from the Department of Labor and one from the Workforce Innovation Group Board. And I know that before Cheryl Stepalak, the interim director, had left, she had two names that were submitted by both agencies, and somehow they have been lost in space. I was finally able to connect with Mr. Slifka, administrative assistant for Director Commissioner Porter, and nobody knows where anything is. So we are going to need to reach out to both departments to get that person's name again, and hopefully that will trigger an email somewhere that someone has with the application. So I'm a little disappointed with that. The second thing I have to report is that Gary Allen, who represented the State Independent Living Council, resigned as both vice chair and member of the council. He was recently provided with a position at BSBE as a rehab teacher, I believe. So we want to congratulate him and thank him for his years of service to the council. And so we need to have a replacement representing that organization. If anyone has any contact with anyone there, let me know here or afterwards. Otherwise, I can contact Gretchen Knopf, who I believe is the director, perhaps still, of the State Independent Living Council. The third thing on membership, I asked Lucretia and Raya had provided me with essentially an attendance roster for the fiscal year, which started our first meeting September. So September, December, March, and the May meeting already. So we had four meetings this year. And I know we all have busy schedules, and it's often difficult to get to meetings, especially in the middle of the day or early morning if people are working. But only three people have attended all four meetings out of our 15 members of the council. So we need to do some improvements on that. And if people are having a tough time, we'll have to figure something out. There's one person who only attended one meeting. There are most people attended two meetings. So per the bylaws, in the bylaw, it's three consecutive meetings would require them to withdraw from the council. So we're going to be sending notices to the person who missed three of the four. And then if someone missed today as well, you know, that's a lot of meetings for the five meetings for the fiscal year. If someone only met one or two, I'd say it's difficult to have a council that does meaningful work if we're not having attendance participation. You know, having a name on the roster might sound great for someone, but if they don't want to roll up their sleeves and get to work, maybe we can help encourage them to do so, or really let them know that we do need their help. So do we have anyone, and I should have known this, Lucretia, is there a membership committee with members on it, standing, or is it just you?
It's myself and the director is who I'm aware of. Okay. I don't know if any others.
Okay. That kind of makes sense.
All right, John Carnimola, is the picture here? I do have minutes from past meetings, so I would be happy to go through those and assemble attendance records if that would be helpful.
Well, thank you. We do have that. Lucretia sent that to me yesterday. I guess Ryan helped her get that done. So I want to thank both of them for that. And I do have a spreadsheet with the people who missed the meetings. So if someone has missed, you know, two out of the five or three out of the five, it's concerning to me. You know, I know people want to help, but if they're not able to commit the time to it and volunteer in a work group and really help in this time of need for the Bureau, we're at a transformative time. We're trying to turn the ship around and support Director Jenkins as best we can. And if we're not here, we can't do it. So it's showing up to listen to the minutes of the past meeting, which aren't read, is troublesome to me. So let's try to encourage each other to get involved. And again, it's just a minimum we can have. We could have many more members. So if you are aware of anyone who may fit the category or any of the categories with respect to membership and would like to volunteer and help get some things done, you know, please let me or Lucretia know, or even Director Jenkins. We'd love, you know, usually it's more the merrier, but it's more the merrier who want to work and get things done. So I'll leave it at that. Any questions on membership or any comments? Okay, none. And with that said, also, with Gary stepping down as vice chair, I know we have elections, and this is membership related, we have elections in September, and all the roles are up for election every year. I'd like to change that. But if anyone's interested in seeking or helping me out as vice chair for the next until September, actually October 1st, you know, that would be great. Just let me know here or privately that you need some help. And then secondly, if you are considering running for any of the offices in September, you know, start thinking about that as well, because we will have elections and from the floor and nominations during the September meeting. Membership. Finance, I think that Scott stated he did not have a report, but Director Jenkins does.
But yeah, I believe Carol does, though.
Yes.
I do. And let me pull it up here. All right. So I'm going to go over the budget. I guess it's not exactly a finance report of expenditures and things. I just want to do a budget report.
Even better.
Sure. So I think that would be more helpful or more beneficial other than just the expenses. Mm-hmm. So we are currently technically in federal fiscal year 2023. However, we carried over our federal fiscal year 22 funds. So we are in the last year of that carryover, and we will be entering the fourth quarter, the last, I guess eighth quarter. Last quarter of that carryover. So that's what the budget that I'm going to go over. So for VR, federal fiscal year 22, our current remaining balance is $1,805,254.95.
You should ask for the number.
We have encumbered.
So we don't have to try to type them all.
Yeah, so we have encumbered, which means that we've done authorizations, purchase orders, those sorts of things. We've encumbered $787,107.81, and this was at as of the end of May, so it's not as of today, just so you know. So the potential remaining is $1,018,147.14, and then payroll will also need to come out of this fund as well, that amount. For supported employment,
so it would be at least one payroll out of that, correct?
It goes through September 30. This is federal funds.
Okay.
So, and when it comes to encumbered dollars, there's usually about a 70% rate of those good services being provided, us being invoiced, and it getting paid before the end of the federal fiscal year as well, if that makes sense. So for supported employment, we also carried over those funds for federal fiscal year 22. So it's broken up into two parts. We have part A, which is adults, and then part B, which is youth. So for the adults, the remaining balance is $2,478. And then for youth, the remaining balance is $22,500. And we have encumbered $20,022. I did not have time to check to see if that was a youth or an adult, but if it's youth, we'll use current year, federal fiscal year 22 funds. If it's an adult, we'll use 23 funds. Business enterprise program, the current remaining balance is $2,252,210.31. Ooh, that's a mouthful. We have our older individuals who are blind funds, which is those individuals 55 and older, and those are federal funds. So that is current federal fiscal year 23, because we typically don't carry over any of those funds. So the remaining balance for client services is $16,461.63. We have encumbered $5,872.34, which leaves a potential remaining balance for client services of $10,589.29. And I did receive an email just today from RSA where we got roughly another $3,000 in OIB funds, supplemental funds. So the federal government gave us some, so we'll take it. And those are not a part of our annual grant award. These are just a little extra. Our adult services funds, which are state funds, and the state fiscal year ends June 30. There's $13,600.59 left, and I don't have an encumbered balance, and I know there are encumbered funds. I don't have it in this report, so it'll be less than that. So for children's services, they're also on a state fiscal year. The current remaining balance is $690,399.18. Encumbered funds are $219,060.17. And that leaves a potential remaining balance of $471,339.01. And then the June payroll will need to come out of that. So that is where our state fiscal year, current federal fiscal year are looking at. Does anybody have any questions?
So I noticed that there are a couple of items that have large balances and then a couple of items that have very small balances. Can you shed some light on the total amount budgeted for those items? Are we looking at they have large amounts budgeted and we've spent it all, or is the amount budgeted for, say, business enterprise program a lot larger than it is than the amount budgeted for adult services, for example? Or is it just that we have spent more on adult services?
Okay, so I'll go through each fund, I guess, and kind of get a general overview. So I'll start with VR. VR for federal fiscal year 22, we were roughly $3.6 million, and that is for all VR-related expenses. So it's staff, client services, all of those things. So we have roughly a little over $1 million potentially remaining for this last quarter. For supported employment, we get $45,000, and it has to be split 50-50 between youth and adults. And so that's where the $22,500 is where each of those parts start with. And supported employment is the most restrictive fund to be able to even use those funds. Many things have to fall in place and happen to even use those funds. And so it's really difficult to use those funds. The business enterprise program, that little over basically $2.3 million, that's the current balance, and it's unassigned state vending machine income. So it's not federal dollars that we receive. It's what the agency gets in for the BEP program from those state vending commissions. And I do know that starting July 1, there are new vending routes that will be coming out for blind operators to have and set up that will come out of these funds. So that's exciting. Our older individuals who are blind, the federal dollars, we get approximately $360,000, and we pay two staff positions out of that. And so once you have all those costs, it leaves right around $20,000 for client services for the whole year.
I have a question on that. So the income derived to fund this program is over $300,000, but 90% of that is taken up by staff expenses for two people?
Yes, two people.
Then we'll see again.
Yes. So then the adult services funds, staff get paid out of the ADS has a personnel, I think it's called personnel fund or whatever, that the state funds for staff who are in the state positions every year. And so that gets paid out of that. So when I say for client services, there's a line item in the budget that the legislature gives, and it's called like supplemental services or relief to the blind, and it's $44,000 for a whole year. And so we use some of that for match, and then we set aside $5,000 for the large print calendar. So after those things, that leaves about $31,000 for client services for a year. And that's all the state funds that we get. And we cannot use federal funds on anybody that's under the age of 55 who has an adult services case open. State funds you can use for any age, but the federal you can't use that same way. Children's services, those are state funds that we get awarded, and I want to say it was roughly $5.3 million this last year to pay for all the teachers and the O&M instructors and all that, the technology teachers that are in children's services. And so that's for the students, all those services. It's for staff. It's for everything. Does that help? I think it was Scott who asked the question.
It does. This is John Carnimola. So,
or John, I'm sorry.
Thank you for, not only did you answer my question and give us an idea of the amounts being budgeted, which it sounds like the reason we had those discrepancies is because there's just different amounts being budgeted. But I also really appreciate you going through and kind of explaining these different categories and how this is, things are allocated. That's really helpful, and I think it gives us all a better idea of how the agency handles funding and how things are broken down. So I really appreciate that transparency and clarity on how funding is processed.
Absolutely. Any other questions or comments about
that? Yes, this is John McNichol.
Yes, John.
Good morning. Sorry I was a little late. Just, you know, stepping back from this, I'm kind of confused because you mentioned that we have a big chunk of 2022 dollars that we're spending against. That we're a carryover.
Who's speaking?
And does it mean that those $22 go away once we get to the end of the federal fiscal year?
Yes, correct. Yes,
correct.
So when it comes to the federal funds, the Rehabilitation Services Administration, if we have to meet our match requirements in that first year of the grant award. And so to even be eligible for RSA to say, yep, you met your match requirements, you can carry those funds over one more year. And it's only a one more year thing. And so that's what's allowing us to spend 22 funds. So it's that we're still using those funds, but we're also using, you know, spending our match for the federal fiscal year 23, which is what we're currently in, because we have to meet that match to be able to request carryover for 2023. So it gets really confusing.
It sure sounds that way. Very convoluted.
So now, it depends if we carry over funds or not, if we're allowed to carry them over or not, and it's federal fiscal year, a state fiscal year, which those aren't the same either.
Yeah. I seem to recollect that because of COVID, a lot of funds were not expended and we had big money not used. Is that why we have the 22 carryover? Because we're still catching up through that, or we just are not budgeting to spend all we got?
I can't fully answer pre-me, but I know last year we gave back roughly $1 million in VR funds, and a chunk of that was because of staff vacancies. So the tricky part about budgeting is, you know, if we were fully staffed, we would need most of that $1 million to pay for the salaries, the fringe, and all those administrative costs that are associated with our employees. And so we're